This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, here every Sunday morning from 6 a.m. until 10. Tell everybody, you know, you also check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. I'm listening to that music. It's got a certain kind of calypso beat to it, and it's reminding me, Sam, something I thought I would never hear, but this is life in the pandemic. You got Europe, you got Canada who doesn't want teams coming from down here up across the border. You got other places that are don't want Americans showing up because of the way we're handling this pandemic, according to them. And then there is a country who would be the last one I thought did not want American tourists showing up. The Bahamas.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I'm saying? The Bahamas, who wants everybody? This country was leveled a few years ago by not one, but a couple hurricanes.
Yeah.
And they are trying to get up and running. They need that dollar. Listen, when I used to work on the ship, and I knew, you know, I know Nassau like the back of my hand. It's 22 miles by 7. And 75% of the people who have jobs on that island are in the hospitality field. Right, and so they need those dollars, and yet they are saying, "Nah, you Americans, you stay away."
Yeah,
this is maddening.
With that group you just heard, those are NFL players. Those
I know that, NFL but it's just a beat. That's right. We were going to talk about that. Give me some of the names on that.
Yeah, I mean, you got some people like Tim Brown on there. You got Daryl Green on this, some Hall of Famers. You got a couple of former Atlanta Falcons. You got one of them, Brian Scott, who, you know, we talked to, we know, we've known him from other things that he's done since his playing days.
Yeah, Shark Tank.
But he's absolutely. That, and and he's an entrepreneur, now still living here in town, but he's also a talented musician and has been involved in music before. So it's neat to hear them do that. Usually the only time we hear the NFL players' choir is at Super Bowl time. They always have a gospel event during Super Bowl weekend, but this was something they did especially for the American Cancer Society, and they did it via Zoom, which is not an easy thing to do. I mean, you're hearing some bands and some musicians who are used to performing together a lot pulling it off, but to have some guys like that pull it off, and it's I heard it this week. I said it's kind of different and kind of neat that they were able to get together and do that. So tip of the cap to the NFL players' choir for doing that.
Hey, speaking of Daryl Green, the NFL's fastest man, who couldn't have run more unconventionally but just blew past everybody for a while.
You remember they go out to the Pro Bowl and they line him up and just let him run, and he just blow by everybody.
Everybody.
Year.
That was, you know, when they talk about country strong, he was country fast. He really was. And that was a race I always wanted to see. I mean, they were separated by years, and it wouldn't have been equal. But I always wanted to have seen Dion race him.
Dion
and Daryl Green. That would have been a great race. Oh, I was about to ask you a football question. Remind me before we end this hour to get your thoughts on the announcement this past week about Mike Tyson, who, by the way, our own Sean Thompson told us it'd be crazy for him to get back in the ring. And it looks like he signed the paperwork, him and Roy Jones Jr.
Last time I saw both of them dudes, they were sleeping in the ring. They'd been put to sleep. So I mean, that's my thoughts on that fight. Last scene in the ring, sleep. Both of them, Roy Jones and Mike Tyson.
Anyway, getting back to the NFL. Have you heard any comments from
You mentioned Darryl Green.
Well, I was about to. That's what I was leading into.
Mitchell Washington.
That's what I was leading into. Old Redskins comments. Have you heard any since the announcement has been made about the team's name change?
I really hadn't heard much. I mean, what have you heard?
No, I haven't. I haven't. That's what I'm saying. It's been noticeably quiet. You know, this is strange too with the NFL. When is the last time you've heard certain people and situations that you normally get a comment from? Look at anything happening with that team, the first person you would normally always hear from would be Joe Theismann, right?
Yeah,
he'd step up and have something to say.
People like that, yeah.
But Theismann would always have something to say. Nothing.
It was a non-decision. I don't know. Were you surprised by it? I thought they were going to put something together before the season started, simply because you're going to make money off a new logo, off a new nickname, a new line of merchandise. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
They're going to make money off of this. This will be the period when there was no name, and this will be just one of those collector's items. It's kind of like heaven. I got in my closet someplace Jordan's 45 jersey. You know what I mean? It's just to have. You know, stuff that I would wear out there, but it's that period. It's what's going on? How do you explain this? They're going to come up with a name, and that'll be – so actually he's gotten two revenue streams during this name change, because they're going to be hardcore fans that will go out and purchase that. Now, I don't know where, because I haven't heard if those stores that pulled Washington merchandise has put the Washington – they should have just called it like a soccer team, Washington FC, right? Is Washington
or something
FC,
like that,
or Washington FT? Leave it at that. But Washington football team, you know, somebody's going to put that someplace outside of DC, and they're going to make some money off of it. But I'm just surprised. That was the thing about this past week, as that has played out, and people have had jokes about it all over. I didn't hear from any of the old timers, anybody talking about that. I could see the new player, the current players being hushed. But I ain't never seen anybody put some duct tape over Joe Theismann's mouth when it came to talking about his old team.
he usually does. He usually does weigh in some kind of way. But maybe it's you don't know how to weigh in on something like this, because, like I said, it's a non-decision, you know, and it wasn't what was expected. I thought.
What do you mean non-decision? They're going to change the name.
I know that, but, I mean, we expected to get the decision ahead of this season. Is what I thought what I was expecting to get to, whatever the new name and new nickname is going to be. We figured the colors would stay the same. I figured they weren't going to change the colors, but I thought for sure that they would name a nickname and have stuff with a logo on it and have it out there. Because what NHL franchise got this week? Seattle got the Kraken. You know, right? They're going to get an NHL team. Kraken, it's like a sea serpent, isn't it? What is that? Right?
Yeah, I thought that's what you were calling Jamal Adams.
No,
that's why I laughed.
No,
that's
the football team. I'm talking about the hockey team. They're going to get an NHL franchise, and they're going to call it the Kraken.
Okay, you just said Seattle. So that's what I was thinking.
saying,
so it's kind of funny,
you know. And they came out. I'm curious to see what that looks like. That might be some pretty cool gear to pick up. Not even a fan of the team, and right now I'm curious to see what that looks like. That's why I'm saying the merchandising is so much that drives things, especially right now when you can't fill up your stadium with fans, and you can't make, you know, NFL owners and teams are going to find a way to make their money. You know, they're going to turn the lights on and play these games, but what else they're going to do? They're going to cover up sections of the seats with covers, and they're going to put logos on them. They know that's going to happen, because the TV cameras are going to show those sections with that cover on and that signage. So, I mean, they're looking for ways to make up that cash for not selling all those tickets, especially if they have to go with 25,000 or less fewer fans in the stands, especially early on in the season. So I'm just your revenue stream is your merchandising and your logo and your image. Like you said, though, maybe the fact that this is something that's going to be short lived, it'll be a collectible with Washington. And maybe you're right, Greg. Maybe people will go out and buy it just to say, you know what, I got one, because they're going to change it soon. But I got one when it was the Washington football team.
FT. She called.
Yep.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. As we talk NFL right now and locally, the only news I've heard out of Falcons camp lately is what has come out of Todd Gurley, you know, Todd Gurley and Grady Jarrett talking about, you know, pushing for more social justice in the NFL. And so nothing about what's going on between the lines, but these guys are continuing to make their voices heard as the movement continues. I don't know if that's good or bad, but, you know, as we sit and speculate.
Well, that's
about,
fine. That's fine.
No, that's fine. That's but fine. What we want to hear from, what I want to hear from Todd Gurley is, again, as much, every opportunity he can. I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. Don't be concerned about, you know, past injuries. We know we're going to get
nice
from Grady
Nike
Jarrett.
Commercial. Very nice Nike commercial Gurley's in, by the way.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. That's the other thing. But
along,
that's what
along
I
with
want.
Zion Williamson and some people, you know.
That's what I want to hear, you know. And as we sit and speculate about camps and distancing and all that other stuff, these guys are doing some kind of workouts. I mean, they better be. All we see from Tampa Bay is Tom Brady holding these workouts with dudes, and you're really not even supposed to be getting together with them. But you know that there's been some work done, and we know that they can't get in football shape regardless. But just tell me, as far as cutting and moving and running and all that stuff, you know, whether I hear it from Vaughn McClure, who covers the team, or right from Todd Gurley. For me, I want to hear that this guy feels like he's 100%, okay? So that tells me that there's an opportunity, once these guys hit the field, that offense is going to be as explosive as anybody else in this league, especially this division. Because this is the division that's going to have the bright spotlight, I believe, this year in the NFC. Obviously, things on the AFC side, they're the power. You're going to have lights on Kansas City. You're going to have them on Baltimore. But in the NFC, it's the NFC South. In the NFL, yeah, NFC. It's the NFC South. And yeah. I just want to hear that running game is 100%, then I'm going to feel good about what they could do. And I know that Julio's hungry to get, you know, more touchdowns, not just yards. He needs to get in the end zone a whole lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To me, that's the key of the success, obviously, for this team. You bring in Gurley to give you that balance. And also that type of running back who can do what the other top running backs in the division can do, being McCaffrey and Kamara. The fact that these guys can get out in space, take the short pass, and do great things for you in that way, other than just taking the handoffs or the toss. And so that's the other thing, the element that you want to see and bring to this offense, and it's going to give the other opposing defense something else they have to be concerned about, and maybe free up some things for Ridley and Julio and the other wide receivers, with him being a legitimate receiving threat. And I think that's what we really want to see from this football team. We want to see that balance on offense. And we want to see this offense move like it potentially can when everybody's healthy.
We have watched this past week how Major League Baseball players have talked about that little extra oomph from the fans, and they're not there, which is probably why they're going to be pumping in more. You think that's going to be as big a concern in the NFL, too, for the home teams, not having those fans there initially?
Maybe so, but I'm looking forward to hearing the conversations myself. And that's the thing. Not many people in the crowd.
Mics picking everything up?
Right. The crowds prevent you from hearing the conversation, and that's what you're getting right now with basketball. You're hearing people talk. You're hearing some things. Maybe hearing some things you shouldn't say. But, you know, that's how I think. I want to hear it. But, you know, we'll talk with Joe Patrick about it. He's coming up next, right?
Yes, he is. Going to talk some baseball. Join Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
The pitch to Duvall. Backdoor breaking ball is lifted in the air to right field toward the corner, back toward the wall, and gone! It just kept carrying and carrying and slicing to a shorter part of the fence. It's a solo home run for Duvall and a 1-0 Atlanta lead.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Braves went on to win that game in extras. I was at the edge of my chair, especially when they went to the bullpen and brought in Jackson. But they came back and won it. So, you know, everything's good with the world. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. A lot of things good to talk about with baseball this opening week. And Sam and I talked a little bit about them earlier. We're going to talk more about them in just a minute with Joe Patrick. But I want to tease something up because we love when Joe comes on here, right?
Yeah, we do.
And I try to have something for him. So not only do I have something for Joe, but I have something for everybody. Because during this time, a lot of people are still staying inside and probably binge-watched everything that you've wanted to binge-watch. But if you haven't saw this yet, it's 61. You remember that movie, Sam? 61.
61?
Billy yes. Crystal did this in 2001. Of course, he's a big Yankees fan, and he chronicled the 61 season and Roger Maris breaking Babe Ruth's record. So the relationship between Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris and the Yankee fan base and all of that. So that's a great watch. I bring that up because today is Hoyt Wilhelm, or would have been Hoyt Wilhelm's birthday. See where I'm going with this? He was chronicled in that movie. He's okay. One of the top pitchers in Major League Baseball during that period. Hoyt Wilhelm was probably one of the first, if not the first, probably biggest knuckleball pitcher. We had the Negroes here
yep.
in Atlanta, but Hoyt Wilhelm was the man. In that movie, they had to find another knuckleball pitcher. And they used Tom Candiotti. Billy Crystal used Tom Candiotti.
Wow.
He spent some time with the Red Sox during that time, 2001. There was another guy that was – the point of it is there weren't many, and I can't think of any right now knuckleball pitchers in Major League Baseball. So that's where I want to bring Joe Patrick in. Joe, have you seen the movie, and can you name – are there any knuckleball pitchers in baseball currently?
Ooh, not that I know of off the top of my head. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure there are that I just can't think of right now. But I can't think of one.
That's okay. I mean, listen, I couldn't think of one either. And Sam and I talk about some of the aspects of the game going away. It's just like base stealers. You got a couple guys
yeah.
that steal some bases, but you don't have that guy on your team specifically there to steal bases.
It's interesting the way the sport has going. I feel like the knuckleball is kind of one of those things that naturally gets phased out because of the modernization and specialization now of these players. They go through these, every baseball player comes up having gone through these specialized training sessions as children and everything. You don't see those kinds of unique abilities and unique ways of doing things anymore. It's kind of like a guy like Darren O'Day who throws a sidearm. You don't see like a submarine pitchers as much anymore as you used to. It's kind of interesting the way that things have kind of, it's kind of like whitewashed the uniqueness, some of the unique abilities that players have around the league.
Completely stupid idea to wash that out because a knuckleball pitcher's arm can last forever. All right,
yeah.
Forever. And if you had a guy who concentrated on that, all right, much like learning the skyhook like Kareem did forever, and you brought that pitcher in to be the setup guy before your closer or a closer, I don't know that I'd want a knuckleball pitcher as my closer, but if you had him as your setup guy, I mean, think of the adjustments the other team would have to make, especially even if you knew he was there. I just think there's an opportunity to have that type of pitcher and that skill set strategically placed in a pitching staff.
I agree with you, Sam. The thing is, though, and I've just thought about this, like, how do you actually learn a knuckleball? You probably would need to be in a pretty unique circumstance where you're around somebody, whether it's at like a high school level or earlier than that in your life, of somebody else who was a really good knuckleball thrower that could actually teach you how to do it.
Smaltz did it.
Not that many people know how to do it, so, you know, it's hard for that knowledge to get passed down.
That's all right. Greg, I'll let you go
yeah,
on here.
Yeah, so. True. Cool. Well, Joe, talk about the start of the season so far with this Braves team. And, we watched them a little bit of frustration in the season opener, not able to force a run across. Then we get the bats going late yesterday. What's your take on what we've seen so far?
Yeah, it was really interesting yesterday because it was kind of shaping up to kind of feel similar after the game as the first game where it's, you're happy about the pitching. You're kind of generally what you wanted to see on that side of it, but it's always pretty gross to watch the offense and the bats be that as cold as they've been. And then you get that late surge late in the game. That was really fun. I think it honestly boosted a lot of spirits, probably both in the fan base and in the clubhouse. And, you know, I think it probably gives the guys a different attitude today when they go out there. They have a chance to take the series, especially, you know, on the road is a big chance to do that. You know, I think it really kind of was a big boost for this team, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I know it's just the second game, but the last thing you want is to, like, get in a terrible slump and have that kind of mental, you know, burden over you this early in the season. So I think it was just kind of a nice release for these guys to get some runs across the board, have a really, you know, fun comeback win, and they needed the pitching to do that, and they got that as well. So I think that it was kind of a good all-around win for the Braves yesterday.
I was talking earlier with Greg, and I was kind of surprised across the league how long starting pitchers went with these first few games. You know, we talked before the season started, and we figured they were going to bring guys back and, you know, give them these pitch counts or inning limit or whatever, and it seems like that kind of wasn't there. They went out and they started the way they normally would start games. We even had a nine-inning complete game in the season opener pitched in the league to get things started this season. What your thoughts on that? Has that played out the way you thought it would?
I am also with you. I'm very surprised. I did not think the pitchers would be as stretched out as they appear to be at this point. I think, like, some guys have pitch counts of up to, I've heard of guys that have counts of up to 95, in terms of just, like, how long the manager will let them go, which is way longer than I would have thought they would be at this point, especially considering all the talk we'd heard, especially from the Braves organization, both Alex Anthopoulos and Brian Snicker talking about how they're prepared to do this piggybacking situation where they have long relievers set to come in for the starters at a certain point in the game. And I do wonder if maybe potentially we're just seeing this because for a couple reasons. One is because the hitters are just kind of not caught up to where the pitchers are in terms of being familiar with seeing the live pitching. And I think the pitchers are just generally having more success, and that allows them to just be more efficient and get through batters a little quicker. And then the other thing is, so far we've really just seen kind of the top two guys essentially pitch from each team, which are generally going to be your better guys. So I do wonder, now that we get deeper into the bottoms of these rotations throughout the league, whether we start to see some guys struggle earlier in the game that causes their pitch count to go up and causes some more of this. I think these next few days will be really telling as to how a lot of teams are going to handle this situation. And when you talk about a piggybacking situation, you don't have a piggybacker for every starter you have. So if you have a guy who you want to pitch two or three innings, you probably can't use that guy more than, you know, twice throughout a rotation turn. So you probably need to have some guys be able to not use a piggybacker. A team might have two or three guys set to do that job, and you have five starters, right? So a few of those guys are going to have to try to get through, and I think that Max Fried and Mike Soroka have given you everything you have wanted to see out of them. I thought Max Fried looked really, really sharp yesterday. He said he threw a couple curveballs he'd like to have back, and those got hit around a little bit. But other than that, I mean, I thought he was pinpoint and looking as sharp as I've seen him this early in the season. So I think we can expect really good things out of both those guys.
Joe, I told Sam earlier, and I don't your thoughts on this, I think also one of the reasons why we're seeing these guys go longer, albeit the first week, is the new rule implemented this year that relievers have to face at least three players, three batters. So you can't just go back and forth with your bullpen, correct?
Right. Yep, that's so right. We talked to Brian Snicker about that, and he's not a fan. I think that for managers, for them, it feels like it's taking away from the strategy aspect a little bit. You know, like, it kind of reduces the amount of impact that the manager can have on the game in terms of trying to get certain relievers lined up for certain guys, you know, and that kind of thing. And especially when you're looking at somebody like Brian Snicker, he used to have to be dealing with the pitcher batting. Now he has the DH, so there's not that to worry about, which can relieve a manager and allow them to be a little bit more creative with some substitutions and things like that. But yeah, it's definitely making an impact in the game for sure. We're seeing it. And it was interesting. The announcers were talking about it yesterday during the game. I forget who it was up to bat. It was, whoever it was ninth in the order. Maybe it was William Contreras. You know, they were saying, like, well, if he can get on base, then you've got Acuna and Ozzie Albies who can hit right-handed. against a lefty, that and the lefty's going to have to pitch to them, and that wouldn't have been the case in years past. You can actually kind of like, it gives you some more interesting dynamics as a fan of what to be rooting for in certain situations, and it just it's definitely making an impact through just two games here. So I think it's going to continue to create that impact as we move on.
Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. My focus moving forward, at least for the next week or so, is Alex Jackson. Tyler Flowers, the other catchers, went down, and so we get a chance to look at Contreras and Jackson, and nothing but positive things have been said about Alex Jackson behind the plate and his callings of the game. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm focused as far as this team within its first week.
Yeah, Alex Jackson is really impressive to talk to. You really get the sense that he is he's a very smart guy, very intelligent guy, and he knows what he's doing back there. You know, I think the Braves are in a really fortunate situation where they're able to bring up a catcher that seems as comfortable and as confident, especially with some of these pitchers on the staff, as Alex Jackson is. And it also helps that the Braves' current rotation is quite young. You know, a lot of those guys have been in the minor leagues somewhat recently. So he has actually worked with a lot of these guys, unlike, you know, some minor league catchers that would be coming up and working with starting rotations around the league. Alex Jackson has a repertoire with Max Reed. He has a repertoire with Mike Soroka. Now, those things may have happened, you know, he's worked with him a long time ago. But he's described, you know, they just have kind of a conversation, they get back into it, and they kind of click, and they know how they're going to work together. So I think the main thing you want out of a catcher in this situation is to help your pitcher as much as possible. You want that kind of that battery partnership to be as tight as possible. And then whatever you get out of them at the plate is just kind of icing on the cake at this point. We saw William Contreras have his first big league hit yesterday, double to right center. And Alex Jackson has a ton of power. That's always been the thing for him, is he's got big time power. Can he hit the ball on a consistent basis? If he does that, he's going to hit quite a few homers. So I think the Braves have, you know, some really decent options they're working with here. And hopefully we should be getting information about Tyler Flowers and Travis d'Arnaud later today. I know those tests that they took tests Friday, and they should have come in last night. The Braves probably have that information on hand right now, and we should be hearing about it later today.
We're spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Joe Patrick. We're wrapping up with him. Before we let you go, Sean Newcomb gets the ball tonight in primetime. Thoughts about what you're looking for from him?
Yeah, you know, he's got a guy, he's really interesting. He's in a spot where yesterday last year he was relegated to a bullpen role, not where he wanted to be. He made that clear, but he did a job in the bullpen. He didn't sulk. He was productive in that role, and so I think that what you want to see from him is him come out of the gates hot. You know, like he said that something about being in the bullpen that he learned was just being aggressive from the first batter, not trying to think about how many innings he's going to go or how many pitches he's going to throw. Come out of the gates with your full arsenal, let your stuff play, and trust your defense. Throw strikes. And that's always kind of been a thing for him as a starter, is the ability to throw strikes. So that's what I'm going to be looking for today, keeping those walks down, keeping the pitch count efficient, and letting his defense work behind him. And hopefully he can go out there and get a win today.
You got to see it. We just got a second or two left here, Joe. You got to see it yesterday. Extra innings, starting the runner at second base. What ran through your mind when you saw it?
I love it. You know, I was like, we asked Brian Snicker if he liked it, and he's like, well, we won the first one, so I guess I like it.
All right, Joe, listen, man, you're the best. We love having you on. We will continue to, as the baseball season continues, bringing you on with us and getting your perspective. And again, if you haven't watched it, 61, that's my watch for you. That's my it's not a binge watch, but it's a movie. Have you seen that movie before?
I have not. I know all about the movie, but I've not actually seen it. So I'll watch it, and we'll talk about it next week.
There you go. 61, Billy Crystal. I don't know what streaming service it's on, but you'll be able to check it out. That's Joe Patrick. That's Joe Patrick talking baseball with us, and we can't thank him enough for getting up and being a part of this morning's show. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your weekend, man. Well, I'm sure he will. He's already started. When we come back, Sam, Speaking of baseball, I got something that I didn't get a chance to bring in this segment, but I heard a great story having to do with two ex-Braves this past week. As we wrap things up here and talk about some of the sports coming up this week, I want to get you this story. And one more shot, I'm going to let you guys know where some of the jobs are located. So for those of you looking to maybe change careers or take your skill set elsewhere, I'll give you that information coming up in a minute. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, also on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Hey, shout out to our own Reggie Rouse. I know he's listening. For the rest of you who are just joining us, if you haven't been listening throughout the show, Sam and I have been doing our own little tribute to Regis Philbin. We lost Regis Friday night. Guy is in the Guinness Book of World Records, I think, for the longest run on daytime TV, but also the original host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that game show. So we have a game show that we do here. We haven't done it in a few weeks, and so throughout the morning, we've been doing our little game show and paying tribute to Regis. And the game is 5 seconds. It couldn't be easier. Feel free to play along at home. I ask Sam a question. He's got to give me three answers within 5 seconds. He's been pretty good this morning. Only one little hiccup. Mr. Crenshaw, you ready?
Gonna try.
All right, you're doing great. Name me three things that cause anxiety. Three things that cause anxiety. Go.
Doctor's visit, dentist visit.
I know you can hang up on that last one. Do you want one more before we go?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Name me three famous Henrys. Three famous Henrys. Go.
Aaron. Wadsworth Longfellow.
Okay. Yeah, well,
what's wrong?
Well, that's the game. That's all right. You don't always get the brand new car or the kitchen set, but there you go. That's our tribute to Regis. We play. We got to get you one so you can do them back to me.
Yeah, man.
I've been asking
them
to you, man.
You say they're at Target, right?
They're at Target, man. You can get them. It's the 5 second rule. Couldn't be easier. It's a great game. You can play it, and you ain't even got to be drinking to do it. Have fun with the whole family. Again, shout out to the folks over the Paulding County Fire Department and the EMTs and everybody over there. We got a call from them earlier. They're still out there doing the good work.
I got something to throw out, something good from last week. Shout out to somebody and the people over at Johns Creek High School. Last week we mentioned that one of the coaches over there, Coach Tim Conrad, was hospitalized with COVID-19 and had been taken into ICU. Friday we found out that he's been released from the hospital and Coach has gone home. So that's certainly good news.
Go.
Coach Tim Conrad over at Johns Creek, all the people over there and people with Fulton County Schools are happy about that.
We got a little clarification this morning on what's going on, speaking of high school and the decisions that are being made with high school athletics. Earlier in the show, we had Dr. Robert Hines on with us, executive director of the GHSA, and he gave us a breakdown of decisions that are being made. You can hear that interview up on our website, 92.9thegame.com. We also want to just, thank the other folks came out. Jason Longshore talked to Atlanta United. Rare that you have a team that just recently won a championship, but not with that particular coach, manager, but the most latest one. Frank DeBoer got let go this past week, and get Jason's thoughts on it. And, of course, Joe Patrick just joined us talking baseball. As we get ready for this upcoming week, I guess, Sam, we start tonight. Braves and Mets. Prime time. Prime time.
How about that? That didn't take long.
Yeah.
Prime time game with the Braves. That's because of the expectations for this team, obviously. And so that's great. People are expecting something. And you know what? We're expecting something, too.
Yep.
So it'd be great to see them go out and get another win tonight.
We have we've talked about the additions baseball has made to make it, more like the regular game. We know the fans aren't there, but, depending on where you're watching and what kind of game you got, they've been throwing in virtual fans. I tell you, I did a double take. And I was watching the Cubs and Brewers on, and when they put in the virtual fans, they didn't come all the way down to the netting behind home plate. They kind of stopped about 10 rows up. That was kind of strange. And then out in the outfield, down left field, they had them out there. The whole area was covered except like four or five rows from the wall. I call that the Bartman area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were empty.
There's things you watch for to make it entertaining for the viewer. But also, Greg, you touched on a couple of things you were talking with Joe that adds to the flavor of the game. And sometimes we feel like baseball has gotten real vanilla and real bland. And in a lot of ways, it has. Putting that runner on second base gives you a chance to have some excitement late in the game. It also brings speed back into this game. You're not just going to put anybody out there with slow feet. You're going to put somebody on second base with some speed. Maybe you change that roster spot for somebody who's going
to
bring that speed back to you
like
you used to have. You know, so that's the other thing. You mentioned the knuckleball and something that has to be taught, and it's not being taught in youth baseball, and that brings me to another subject. We talked about high school sports and whether or not it's safe to play high school sports, whether or not it's safe to have fans. I was over by Cale High School in Cobb County this week, and of course that's the home of Perfect Game and all of the youth baseball places over that way, especially by Cale High School. Places packed full of places. Lake Point, packed full of places. AAU travel ball, packed full of places. So while we're asking questions about high school sports and how safe it is, the travel ball folks seemed to couldn't care at all. And so
I didn't see anybody
checking temperatures. I didn't see any of that as people went in and out for those places. So, I mean, yeah, we expect from high school and you know, whether we feel like it's kind of risky in a way for them to want to go out and play fall sports. But meanwhile, parents are boxing up their kids and shoving them out the door. There were people out in Cobb County who from across the country, they brought travel ball teams from Texas, Tennessee, everywhere, and not a care in the world. So, I mean, and I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. That's how they make money. But if that's a concern there, why isn't it a concern for school? Why isn't it a concern there as well? Why aren't the parents concerned?
There you go. See, there's no governing body with that. And mom and daddy going to get their return on their money, on their investment. I can't speak to doing their due diligence as far as taking temperatures and masks and all that sort of stuff. But I've seen the same thing you've seen. And the amount of money that parents spend on these travel teams on all the sports, you know, if they say we're going to play, they're going to play. Now, obviously, there's going to be some parents who don't feel comfortable doing that. But the majority of them, as you said, they're out there. And you know, they feel like this is going to pass and Junior doesn't need to miss a season. And maybe there's something maybe somebody will call us up and tell us, because of the pandemic, are they offering these people their money back?
I got a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
Fathers, stepfathers and everything. I mean, your kids are older. How would you feel comfortable having your child play a sport right now?
That, of course, our producer, Jahi Whitehead, and no. Not a trap. No, I would not. I just wouldn't.
I would be very concerned. You know what I mean? And I would have to have some reassurances of some things. And just like we said, Coach Herm Edwards said, if you're going to play football, there's only one way to play it. When you put the pads on, you got to go out and play it. We're going to sweat. We're going to bleed. That's what we normally do. And like I said, I hope there's something in place, a number in place in some people's minds. If we get so many positive tests and so many teams having to quarantine for 2 weeks, do we rethink some things? That's my whole thought about it, and we expressed that, and Dr. Hines says they're pretty much leaving it up to everybody's jurisdiction. Now, we're talking high school athletics, and Greg, we talk about people moving people from school to school and how people look the other way and don't care about stuff. I'm concerned when competition starts. If high school athletics was just an extracurricular activity that we participated in, it's one thing, but we started keeping score and handing out trophies. Mm-hmm. And that kind of changed everything, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so what's to stop somebody from having somebody that tests positive and not telling? If you got a big game coming up, if you leaving it to the individual jurisdictions, what's to stop that from happening?
We have seen already that the players, when they get an opportunity, are circumventing the rules that are in place. They're finding ways. We started the show talking off about Lou Williams. Right now, he got to spend more time, you know, in the bubble when he comes back. Who was it? I can't remember the name, Jahi, if you remember, jump in. But one of the guys left the NBA bubble and went out and got some chicken wings. Now he got to come back and sit in quarantine because of that urge. And
for a limited period of time. And they're supposed to have great chefs and everything down there for those guys, man. They're supposed to be getting the best of everything.
As a parent, it doesn't necessarily directly reflect on you guys, but what would make you feel comfortable if you were a parent? What would bring you at ease?
Something the pandemic, that they can do. Medical officials telling us.
First of all,
that's what I was going to say. It would come out of the mouths of a medical official or medical officials that would tell us that this is no longer a risk. I can't tell my kid after 18 if they're playing college ball someplace. That's one thing. But for these youth sports and things like that, no, I'm holding them back because I love my baby. And I'm not that parent who's pushing them to fill a void that's missing in my life.
And here's the other thing. We're talking the NFL. They're concerned about how often they're going to get tested. We know at the college level they're being tested weekly. You know, there's no plan for testing at the high school level.
Yeah.
No plan. You know, you scan. They get take your temperature and ask you questions. That's it. That's all there is.
Before we get on out of here, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Tell everybody you know we're here 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. I want to drive people to our website again, Sam, because we talk about jobs. It's one of the things that we're quite proud of. We talked about how there's information out there for those on the college level to find out about some of these NASCAR jobs, being in crews, things like that we've talked about. I have obviously continued with the casting call. Well, the productions aren't filming right now, but those of you that have a skill set that would lend itself to being on a crew, behind the camera jobs, Georgia.org is posting those jobs. There's a help wanted section, and I mean probably daily, different productions are updating them. They're putting them on there. So I hairdresser, carpenter, driver, cook, whatever it might be. There's 50 to 100 different jobs on a movie set. And if you are, unfortunately, one of those people who lost their job during this pandemic, or maybe you're looking to change jobs, you go to 92.9thegame.com. You click on menu and you go to blogs. You'll see Casting Call with Greg Clarkson. I also had to cancel one of the productions that were going to open and they shut it down, but there are COVID-19 procedures in place too. Have that up on the website. So again, I want to drive those folks there. Mr. Crenshaw, everything good on your side? Again, we don't get a chance to look at each other, man. So again, you and the family doing all right?
Doing all right, man. Staying well, staying safe, staying well, and keeping the hands clean. Hope that's happening at your place.
I got to give Jesse a bath. I gotta give.
Oh, that's gonna be fun. That's gonna be fun.
I gotta. That's my chore for the day at some point.
That just sounds like fun.
For all of you don't know, Jesse is my 30, nearly 40 pound rescued pit bull, who's running the house. And everybody that's got a dog, you know, you just living amongst them. So, Jahi, we want to thank you.
And we've been taking up their space. We've been taking up their space because we've been home too long.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Our Stomp the Yard segment, we're doing it every Sunday, 7:40. Of course, the guy who does that is Jahi Whitehead. My man, you and your family have a wonderful week. Thank you for everything you've done for the show.
Thank you. You and yours.
All right. You guys have
exemplary work. Exemplary work, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us all out, radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.